They said it couldn't be done. The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A podcast for those who find Medicare murky. He watches reruns of the Banana Splits and Pee-wee's Playhouse, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just arrived at another episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And just as Drew McMillan told you, this is Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for today, maybe for tomorrow, and hopefully for the rest of the month. The Medicare expertise that I bring to the table is gained over many years of telephone ringing. Hello. Oh, well, they're just... That's not one of my clients. I always like to look and see when the phone rings, but if it's my client, I'm going to grab the phone. I'm going to chit-chat with them and find out what's on their minds. When it's some new person who wants to be a prospect, they're going to have to wait their turn. Recording this podcast is the most important thing for me right now. And the reason for that is because I am helping, I hope, a large number of people to feel confident that they can make the transition from normal life to Medicare life without any negative things happening to them. It should be less expensive. It should be smoother going. You should have greater freedom of choice when it comes to doctors and hospitals. Your medical bills should not be burdensome to you, and the cost of your protection against burdensome medical bills should be very easy to handle in most cases. And so that's my goal, is to help people make that transition without any huge problems at all. And in fact, there is a 30-second radio spot that Mr. Carson and I put together last year that shows why we're here. And maybe he'll play that for us right now. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. Thank you, Randy. That's very instructive. When people get to listen to that, they know exactly what it is we're doing here. So we have my dial twister who's staring at me through the screen. How are you, Randy?
I'm good. I was just looking at the temperature. It's slowly raising. It's now 65 degrees. And normally, around this time of year, it's a little bit warmer.
It should be. We had clouds yesterday. I had rain this morning. You think it smelled like you had some rain, but it was dried up by the time you let the dogs out. And we had a storm come through from California, and that dropped the temperature down something like 25 degrees, I would say. It's not out of the 60s yet on my patio, the shadiest place in Cave Creek. And so normally at this time of the day in late April, it's going to be pushing 100, I would think.
Is that the fortress of solitude that we're talking about?
The whole building is the fortress. And then I have a cone of silence that I use occasionally. But my patio, when I was looking to buy a house in Arizona 15 years ago, my real estate lady kept harping on me, don't buy this house, don't buy that house. You won't be able to use the patio in the summertime if it faces south or west. You'll be really uncomfortable. And so I'm very proud of the fact that my house has not only got 360-degree mountain views, but also the patio. Ever since the house was built, the sun has never shone on the patio. It's completely covered and shaded. And so when my thermometer with a remote sensor tells me what temperature it is out there, I know that it's like never been adulterated by the sun. So it's a true air temperature, just like they have at the weather stations and stuff.
I get the biggest kick about, you know, on Facebook, occasionally there'll be like a little poster and says, you know, all the different, you know, temperature feels for the different months of the year in Arizona. Yeah. And I always get the biggest kick out of July. It always says similar to the surface of the sun.
Yeah. And that's fairly accurate. But, you know, the reason I don't put a lot of stock in that kind of thing is because in Illinois, if you watch the weather when it's really cold in the wintertime and they're about to set a record and they're all excited and everything, they will tell you what the wind chill factor is. Now, the wind chill factor is only important if you're walking around naked. And the reason I say naked is because I'm from Oklahoma.
I do that quite a bit.
Well, walk around naked or say naked?
No, I walk around naked.
Well, you're not in Illinois. In Illinois, in the middle of winter, when they tell you the wind chill is going to be 50 below, it's meaningless because nobody in their right mind is going to be walking around naked in Illinois in the middle of winter. So it doesn't matter what the wind chill is. It only matters what the air temperature is, in my opinion.
If they were walking around naked, they wouldn't be walking around too long.
No, pretty much they'd be falling over and then turning blue. But we had a weatherman who was very popular named John Coleman. And for years, he was a real energetic guy. Everybody loved this guy. And we had a giant series of blizzards in January of 1976 or 79, 1979. We had a blizzard on New Year's Eve. We had another blizzard a week later. And all of these things were in excess of 20 inches. John Coleman missed the boat on every one of those blizzards. You know, cloudy, you know, partly cloudy and flurries and all that. And so from that point on, he was the master of disaster. Every time a cloud was going to come over, oh my God, we're going to die. We're going to get dumped on with 4 feet of snow and we're all going to die. And then the next day he would say, we dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
We dodged so goddamn many bullets, it's hard to believe that he was able to keep his job. But he did go on to start the Weather Channel. And he has been one of the most vocal critics of people who believe in global climate change, which they used to call global cooling. And then they decided to call it global warming. And it's all a bunch of crapola. And he was a weather scientist who knew it was crapola.
Well, speaking of crapola, we mentioned it in the previous podcast that some scientists are now saying that because the distribution, I guess, of water on the Earth is different, that now we're basically spinning out of round.
How did the distribution of water move from what it used to be to whatever it is now?
The only thing I can surmise, and again, I'm not an expert, but that the melting of some of the glaciers. You know, they had a bunch of water trapped, you know, in a particular place.
Yeah.
And now that it's flowing somewhere else, the Earth is spinning like a tire with a soft spot. You know,
I was willing to give you the benefit of the doubt on this theory. Now that you've told me what the theory really is, I'm going to say BS. Here's the reason why. A lot of people say, the Arctic, you know, which has all this ice, is so much warmer now than it used to be. And of course, when they send film crews up there in the summertime, they see polar bears splashing around in the water and it's melting ice and glaciers calving and so forth and so on.
Yeah, but in reality,
that's because they send them up there in the summertime. And that kind of stuff is going to happen in the summertime. They don't send people up there in the wintertime. Nobody wants to go to the North Pole in the wintertime. And so that's when you see that it's ice, it's frozen. The polar bears are looking desperately for food because they don't have any access to open water. And it's completely ridiculous. But what I learned years ago was that the reason it appears to be warmer at the North Pole and in the Arctic Circle is because when Ronald Reagan squashed the Russians like the bugs they are, they, among other things, could not afford to keep their weather stations open along the Arctic Circle and up in Murmansk and places like that. So they had to close their weather stations, and the arithmetic average of reporting stations, the average temperature went sky high because these cold Arctic weather stations the Russians were reporting their temperature data from ceased to exist. So
Well, I was just going to point out, maybe they might want to blend in some temperatures during the winter from Nebraska. That'll bring it right back down again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Chicago, my father used to call it Soldier Field the coldest place on earth, next to Korea, where he had his ears frostbitten during the Korean War.
Oh, I totally understand. Well, you know, Doug.
Yes, I know. Let's get after it.
Suppose we need to get after it.
Let's get after it. And one of the things I wanted to get after was I always listen to these podcast episodes. I've told Randy before that doing this podcast is like putting a black bag over my head. I don't really know what's going on because every brain cell I have is working to try to maintain some sense of normalcy while providing something of value. And I never know whether I've succeeded in doing that or not. So when it comes time to take a particular episode and post it, Randy puts it on Podbean and then he texts me and says, "Hey, your next episode is up on Podbean." And then I go after my most severe critic. She's a woman that lives in the house with me. And she is actually a Nazi. Her maiden name would scare the pants off you if you were any sort of likelihood of going to a concentration camp. Her last name would just make you shiver in your boots. And so she lives in my house here with me, and I have to find her, sit her down, and I play the podcast that Randy has posted on Podbean, and before I make it go live, and I turn to her and I say, "Is there any reason that you think this should be redone?" And generally speaking, it's no. And, you know, pretty good. And I like this part and I didn't like that part. And you shouldn't giggle at your own jokes. And I get a lot of stuff like that. On this particular episode, and it was not long ago, I think it might have been 174 or thereabouts, she said to me, "Oh my God, you get an A+ for that episode." Now, I had never heard words like that. Certainly never from any teachers that I had in high school or college. The A+ was just the kind of thing that eluded me. But when my most severe critic told me that Randy and I had earned an A+ for this particular episode, it reminded me that one of our favorite listeners, Dominic Regina, had mentioned one time that he wanted us to put together a synopsis of all of our episodes so that he could find an episode dealing with a certain subject more quickly. And of course I snorted derisively and I said, "That ain't ever going to happen because Randy and I don't have that kind of time. We're busy, busy men. We have important things to do. And frankly, Dominic can just, go suck an egg or whatever." But the whole point was that I didn't see an easy way to do that sort of thing. But a partway measure would be to listen to the response of my most severe critic. And so for every episode going forward and for some episodes in the history of this podcast, I'm going to get her to listen to them again and assign a letter grade. Now, it's going to be kind of subjective because some things make her laugh, like when I told Randy that we would have to get a note from Nostradamus to excuse us from something historical or whatever, but she laughed at that. So that episode would be likely to get a higher grade than, say, an episode where I'm slamming GoodRx and she's just had an excellent experience with GoodRx, and then she has to tell me the reasons why I'm all wet. And I have to have another episode to apologize to the listening audience and explain that I was wrong. And so that's that sort of episode is going to get a lower letter grade. But if you go back to episode 174, 175, something like that, you're going to find one that says A+ in the show notes. She thinks that's an excellent episode. And so I'm going to go with that. So you'll be seeing letter grades, I believe, going forward in all of our episodes in the future. And I'm going to go back and have her listen to some of the older ones and see if those earn letter grades that we're not embarrassed of. What do you think, Randy? Do you have a most severe critic that you could call on if you needed to?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. I was just, you know, reflecting back on what we might have done right so that we got an A plus. Was that the one that I was unable to speak? I'm not sure.
Well, there have been several of those. Mostly what happens is you forget to turn your mic off and I hear the snoring because Medicare is not your favorite subject, as we learned early on.
Well, you know, I've told you this before, Doug. I sit up nights reading Medicare information because it is just like sitting on the edge of your chair.
If I were a smartass, I would ask you if Santa Claus was coming down the chimney again, because that sounded like Christmas bells.
Well, no, that's my all around the house security system. That particular ring says there's Medicare disadvantaged people within 300 yards.
You got your shotgun handy?
I do.
Okay. I don't know what the range on your shotgun is, but let them get real close so you can see the whites of their eyes. And
that's right. You got that right.
Their minds. Then we'll change their minds.
Are you sure you want to knock on my door?
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, that wasn't really a whole lot of Medicare-type content for this episode, so maybe I should do something from the mailbag. What do you think about that?
I think we probably need to do a little bit of mailbag. Otherwise, we can't deduct this as a business expense.
Yeah, and we got some pretty expensive equipment here. So let us do some mailbag. And this is a fairly lengthy one from a gentleman named Drew. And he's just like my favorite announcer, Drew McMillan, except that's not his last name. So Drew wrote, this is a while back. It started back in July of 2020 and it went on. Ooh, boy, did it go on. Anyway, he said, I bought your book and loved it. I had one additional question that I would like your input on. You cover hospitalization, medical, and prescription costs, but I'm interested in your thought and options for dental and vision. Any ideas you could share with me? All right, so this was last July. I don't know if I've changed my opinion since then, but let's see what I told him. I said, thanks for writing, Drew. I just discovered a dental vision hearing plan from a reputable company that does not force one to use a certain network of providers. They pay benefits without regard to the affiliation of the practitioner, and the brochure is attached. If you would like to pursue this plan, let me know what your resident zip code is, and I will double check to make sure the premium is quoted correctly. Thanks also for the kind words about my book. And here's where I sneak up and smack him in the head. It would be helpful if you were to return to the site where you bought it and post a short customer review. Then I said, let me know if I can be of any further service to you. So Drew wrote back to me, Doug, thanks for the info. Here's our zip code. By way of background, let me give you a little more detail on my situation. We are currently covered under COBRA until February 1st, 2021 from my previous employer. The company provides me full medical, dental, and vision insurance until that date and even pays the difference between COBRA and what I would have paid as an employee since my retirement. Come February 2021, I will be covered by Medicare as I will be 65. My wife will be 62 as of that time. So I'm studying my options to enhance my Medicare coverage plus dental and vision. My wife will need to have her own medical insurance for 2 more years when she reaches 65. My thought was to find her a medical plan and find both of us dental and vision coverage. We are higher income, so I expect to be penalized on my Medicare price tags. The thought you have, or perhaps a consultant that could work with our details to map out a strategy to meet our goals, would be greatly appreciated. I'm wondering why I didn't have more contact with him, because that's right up my alley. Randy and I changed our modus operandi last year to be able to accommodate requests like this. So anyway, number four, let's see. I think I must have asked him when his birthday was, and he told me February 17th. And then I responded to him. Hi, Drew. I have attached a larger version of that dental vision hearing brochure from Manhattan Life. The monthly premium for each of you is highlighted in yellow, both for the $1,000 and the $1,500 annual maximum benefits. It's remotely possible that your employer's dental vision plan will allow you to stay on under COBRA, even though you won't be on the medical portion of the plan. It might be worth asking, since a monthly premium is likely to be somewhat lower. Also attached is a rate sheet from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas, the company I use exclusively in Texas. I highlighted the monthly rates for the two plans I recommend. G is the most comprehensive and high deductible plan. G is the most cost effective. My assumption is that you don't smoke. If that is not correct, you can see the smoker rates just to the left. Now, this is out of date, ladies and gentlemen, because I use four companies in Texas now, and one of them is a lot less expensive than Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. And some people like to go that route. Other people like the name recognition. So I offer people a wide choice of companies. So I said, as you already know, Medicare Part A will be free of charge, and Plan B is a $144.60 monthly rate this year. Irma may increase that, blah, blah, blah. So if you take no drugs but intend to avoid the late enrollment penalty, the cheapest prescription drug plan I have is $13.20 per month. Well, this year, it's cheaper than that, much cheaper than that. On the other hand, if you take one or more prescription drugs, follow the steps in my book and you will see the array of available drug plans. And yakety, yakety, yak. Finally, some people have had success in persuading the government to reduce or eliminate the IRMA penalty by using form SS-44 and explaining the reasons for the change to a lower income. No guarantees, but it will probably be worth a try. Finding individual insurance for your wife will be no problem, as there are several alternatives available. Unfortunately, the cost will be much higher and the benefits will be much skimpier than yours will be with Medicare. Let me know if I can do anything further to guide your thinking and help you plan for this important transition. Boy, I can really keep them listening, can I? Or do they fall asleep while they're... That was a lengthy letter I wrote to him. So here's me again. Can't get enough of that. Hi, Drew. We haven't been in touch since July, so I thought I would share a couple of updates with you. This was written in December. Since we were last in contact, I have become contracted with this wonderful Texas company, rated A+, and they have a rate much less than I quoted with Blue Cross Blue Shield. We also discussed individual dental, vision, and hearing coverage for you and Mrs. Lynch, and they now have a $3,000 annual maximum benefit. And he wrote back to me and said, Doug, many thanks for the follow-up email. We have secured our insurance for 2021 and used our local agent, which was able to provide us with what we needed. Again, I think your book is great, and it provided me with a framework to think about Medicare and probably saved me money and headaches. All the best, Drew. Okay, so basically, it's the commission salesman's lament. You find a prospect who has a need, you give him a good solution, and hope that he buys the product from you as the commission salesman. In this case, he didn't. Sometimes they do, and that becomes the basis for a beautiful relationship. In this case, Drew preferred to stay with an agent, probably from his hometown that he's been dealing with in the past. I like to think, anyway, that it's a happy, happy solution. But if they ever find themselves at loggerheads, then he knows how to find me, and I will welcome that contact. There you go. There's a little mailbag for you.
And that is the story. And you're sticking to it,
I bet. I'm sticking to it. I'm not going to deviate.
There you go. You know something? We are out of time.
I'm not surprised to hear that. My throat is dry. It's begging for a Guinness, but it's not going to get one.
You know, we need to fix that.
Yeah, we ought to do that. We ought to do another morning episode on your driveway at your friendly neighborhood Guinness brewery or whatever.
Yes,
distillery or dispensary.
Well, actually, I don't brew it here, but I distribute it here.
Your dispensary. You're going to dispense some if I come over.
That's right. That's right. So anyhow, thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We wouldn't have nearly as much fun unless you were here, because that's what it's all about. Doug is trying to guide you down the primrose path of Medicare when you're jumping off the bandwagon of Obama Don't Care and keeping you away from the wolf, the big bad wolf of Medicare disadvantage plans.
Ooh, scary, scary.
Yeah, I mean, they should turn that into a like a children's story, you know, like, oh, pay no attention to that. Those are not my teeth. Oh,
that would be child abuse. I don't think we should.
Oh, well, children. There you go. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks for joining us. You have spent just about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy and the new and continuing CEO of MLM Air. But we're going to have to bring her in for a landing. So put your tray tables up, put your stuff back in the overhead, and be careful because it may have shifted. And
do I have to extinguish my smoking materials? Or
yes, you do. Now, obviously, if you're smoking, you probably are standing in the bathroom trying to cover up the smoke detector.
There you go. That's right.
And that's right. So anyway, let's get all that done, and we're going to bring it in for a landing. But before we do, those of you who are just joining us or maybe a new member of the MLM family, go to Amazon.com, buy your book, buy several, and there's also an electronic version for Kindle. And someday, there's going to be an audio version.
Off into the future somewhere. It's been over 3 months that the book's been in line, ready to get approved for sale, and still nothing.
I'm not going to say I laugh, but you know, sometimes you only laugh because you don't want to cry. The last time Doug put in a query into these folks, ACX, by the way, how's my book doing? Thank you for your inquiry. Yes, it is a book.
Yeah, thank you. We'll let you know if anything changes, like it becomes not a book or something.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, literally, this is timely information. I mean, by the time they get this thing out, we're going to have to start recording the next one.
Absolutely. So it's ridiculous, but they won't explain it to me. They just say, yeah, just sit tight. Just be patient. So I don't know. Kind of discouraging, but hang in there with me, folks. Anyway, also, if you buy the book, if you like it, if you think it's been helpful, you might want to go back and give a customer review on Amazon. Authors live and die by the customer reviews. And I would appreciate it if you would take a moment to do that. It doesn't have to be long and elaborate. Just a few words about what you thought about the book.
Sounds like a plan. Well, we appreciate your time today, Doug, to share your knowledge with us about Medicare and Medicare supplements. And by the way, we are going to have to sign off because we're out of time.
Bye-bye.